Good morning. Please stand as we worship together this morning.
When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. When all I see is a mountain, you see a mountain move. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. Surrounds me with your love, oh Lord. There is nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. Oh.
So when I fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high, oh God, that belongs to you. And every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night, oh.
And if you are for me, who can be against me? For Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you. Shine in the shadows, win every battle.
Children. So we come before you today, God, with Jesus. We come to you with all of our burdens. We come to you with all of our joys, our amazing things that we have accomplished this week, and the things that we have lost. We come before you with our sins. With our fallen, that we've fallen short of your glory. We come before you that way. Like we come before you grieving for our families, for those that are lost, that are not following you. We come before you contending for healing, oh God, physically or in our minds. All we can say is that we need you. We need you, because we are nothing without you. This is why we're here. We are here to focus our eyes. We fix our eyes upon you. And we're so encouraged. Like, people, this is what Jesus says to you. This is what he said to his disciples. When he was, you know, it was this message right before he left. You know, he went to the cross like he was preaching to his disciples, and he says, I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father will be glorified in the Son. It's all about his glory. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. So bring your cares to the Lord. petition him. He will do it. It's what he said. So we come before you, God. This is a beautiful moment of this call and answer, so I really want you to declare we do, because we're interceding for our world in a song like this. We're interceding for our families again.
Do you feel the world is broken?
We do.
Yeah.
Do you feel the shadows deepen?
We do.
But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? Do you wish that you could see it all made new? We do. Is all creation groaning? New creation coming.
Yes.
Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? It is. Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? It is.
Oh,
Take this time to pray to the Lord and worship Him. We're just going to stay in this moment for a while. For this gift of your church, to be in this place amongst your people singing praises. And God, as we do that, you inhabit those praises. You are here with us. Your Spirit is ministering healing and encouragement. And we place our lives firmly in your care, O Lord. Thank you for this. be seated.
Oh, it's so good to be in God's house with God's people worshiping. Amen? Amen. Welcome to New Life Church. My name is Sean. I'm one of the pastors here, and I will be your host this morning. If you're a guest this morning, welcome. God bless you, and we're so glad that you're here. We'd love to get to know you and for you to get to know us. And so could I invite you to fill out a Connect card that's found in the seat in front of you? And when you're done, please bring it to the info booth. And we want to bless you with a New Life gift bag. At New Life, one of the ways that we share God's love with everyone is by blessing our guests with a small gift bag. So even if you don't fill out the Connect card, please don't hesitate to come to the info booth. Tell us that you're a guest, and we'd love to bless you with a gift bag. And for those of you who are joining us online this morning, we want to acknowledge your presence. And so please drop a comment in the chat box of who you are and where you're watching from. At this time, I would like to invite all the kids to come forward, ages 3 to 5, as well as those in grades 1 to 5, to come to the front. We want to pray a blessing over you and your leaders as you head downstairs to continue in worship. So if you're serving in Little Lights or Kids Church, if your parents, you want to come down with your children as well, please come to the front at this time. And congregation, I want to invite you to extend your hand over these kids and their leaders and the parents at this time towards the stage, and we'll pray over them. Let's do that right now. Jesus, we thank you that you welcome children to your presence. We thank you that you love them so much. We thank you for these children. We thank you for this blessing, Lord, the blessing that they are to this community, to our families, Lord, to our lives. We pray that you would bless them as they continue in worship at Little Lights and Kids Church. We pray that you would teach them, you would reveal yourself to them, that you would remind them, assure them of your love for them. God, we pray that you would be with the leaders and the teachers and the ministry directors and pastors. We pray that you would bless them and give them wisdom as they lead and guide and teach these children. We pray that you would go with them, and that you would dwell in their midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Little Lights, ages 3 to 5, and leaders, you can go out the door on my left and head downstairs. And Kids Church, grades 1 through 5, and leaders, you can go out through the door on my right and head downstairs. Bless you. This morning, I have a couple announcements to make. One of them is about our New Life Connects class. New Life Connects class is meeting after service in the boardroom on the main floor. It's a class with Pastor Nathan for those interested in baptism, profession of faith, membership, and the inner workings of New Life Church. This will take place for the next 3 Sundays, starting from today. If you're interested in taking this class, but you haven't signed up, don't worry. It's not too late to join. Just come to the meeting after service through this door on my right, down the hall, and you'll see the boardroom there. Secondly, we had a team that got sent to Bogota, Colombia on a mission trip. On March 31, a team from New Life went to Bogota to visit and serve with one of our mission partners, Brand New Life Society. And so at this time, I would like to invite John and Janessa to come up and share a little bit about their experience and their story with us. John and Janessa, come on up.
Good morning. It's indeed a true pleasure to share the time that we had as a team in Colombia. I was asked to share a bit of my experience, and I will do that, but I have to tell you before we start that me and Janessa did not rehearse this. I don't know what she's going to say. She doesn't know what I'm going to say. She just came up to me before the service and said, you are First John. And I said, really? She said, yes. So I am speaking first. I was hoping to speak second and fill in the blanks where she didn't cover it all, but I guess she will be doing that now for me. I have to share with you my full experience, and you know, the night before, the eve that we left on Thursday morning, Wednesday night, I believe Wednesday or Tuesday, we got an email from the church office saying, Columbia wants a thing, it's on the internet, and they just want a pre-entry, fill in the information, and fill in where you're going to be staying in Columbia. So, me and computers are not the greatest. But anyways, I proceeded, and I don't want to make it a long story. This process took 3 hours. I filled it all out, and I sent it, and it said that it already had something, and I filled that out again. I wanted to back up again, and then I tried it again, and I think I was like an hour and a half, 2 hours, and I phoned some of our team members. I phoned her. I said, you know, I'm having trouble. She said, I have a little bit of trouble also, but I got through it, and this is going into 3 hours here, and then I still didn't have it. I pretty well had the whole thing memorized from doing it so many times. I phoned Pastor Nathan, and he says, yeah, I was having some trouble too, you know. I'm having some difficulty. And that was very comforting words to me, because if the pastor, you know, your leader has trouble, then that's okay. But anyways, finally in the third hour, the gal that I phoned first, she said, John, just forget about it. Just go. Okay, so I went. So on the next morning, everybody had their little paper with it, confirmation that they had done this for going into Colombia. On the way down there, I was told that Janessa filled this form out in 2 or 3 minutes. very comforting. So anyways, we're off to the airport we go, and I just give God all the glory. I'm not the greatest with self-check-in, and Janessa must have picked up on that. She walked beside me, and I've never been through the self-check-in so fast. And the screen was just flipping through me, and off I was, and I said, thank you, Jesus, thank you. We're a team. We're a team. So we started our flight, and you know, I just want to sum this whole trip as a team, and I probably could sum it up in one sentence. See God's hand in everything, and leave everything in God's hands. You know, as a team, I believe that's what we did. And God knew exactly what we needed. He went before us everywhere we went. God also, I give him glory for this. He just said, you know, you need a good dose of laughter. I've never laughed so much in 1 week. And I'm not speaking for the other members of the team, but, you know, we had a lot of laughs. It was never, you know, whether it was in the airport or whether it was while we're doing ministry there. Anyways, we landed 5 a.m. in the morning on Friday, 5 a.m., and went through customs. I think in 15 or 20 seconds, I was through. Never even asked about the pre-entry, never asked nothing. Leave everything in God's hands, right? And we just went through, and it was, am I taking too long? anyways, we're going to be moving on now. And we went through and we powered through the day. Friday, we never slept all night. We had the flight. And, just seeing God's hand there on us. I've seen God's hand in just meeting the Fernando family. It was just his wife and his children. They came and they served us food every morning and supper at night. It was just the love that was poured out into us. I have to say, we tried a lot of different fruits. Apparently, you can have a different fruit for every day of the year there. So that's 365 plus, and probably had a little bit too much chicken, like there was a lot of chicken. And then there was more, yes. Anyways, it was just so good seeing God's hand. Every day we as a team went down there to our ministry center, and you'll probably see that on the slides. Just every day there was progression. There was painting being done. Me and Tony teamed up as electricians, and we worked fairly good, I believe. And got a lot of lights, extra lights put in, and receptacles, hung TVs on the wall. But, a real highlight for me was on Saturday morning, we were involved with the ministry there, and almost 200 youth showed up. It was something to behold what Fernando is doing in Colombia with so little. And that we could come down there with the resources that we as a church can give, and we were referred to as Janessa and Victoria, probably Pastor Nathan, and the old people coming to Bogota. I'm okay with that, So anyways, it was just so neat to just be in the classrooms with the little children, 2, 3, 4 years old, and just seeing them just sit so attentively in a circle, small room, 25 of them all around, and just so well behaved. And just the leaders that Fernando has working with him, it was just amazing. The unity there was just incredible. I just want to say that each day when we went back, we could see the progression. And at the end, it was far more than I think that Fernando expected. If you have John Pickford with you, he'll always add in a few of them, put the notch a little bit higher. And we did a few extras, and Fernando was very thankful for that. To be as a team, almost finished. To be as a team, we were going back. We stayed together as a team. I remember coming home, and I went through the Toronto. We had to go through immigration, and Janessa left me on my own. So I went through there, and we at one point had to take a picture, and I guess the picture took a shot of my chest, because I should have either moved it up or put it down. But anyways, it was a picture of my chest, and it had a big X through it, and then I said, "Where's Janessa?" Of course, Janessa was down there waiting for us, and I'm by myself. I could have used her, right? And so here I had this paper with this X on it. And I seen everybody else had a picture of themselves. So I just went to the officer at the end. We had to hand that paper in. And he just said to me, "You're good to go, sir."
Thank you so much for sharing. That was lovely. I won't be long then. With what John shared, because he covered it so wonderfully and so beautifully. And it was wonderful to be on this trip, and you're right. I think I laughed more than I've ever laughed in 1 week, and it was just lovely to see Fernando's ministry. What struck me was that we got to just be a tiny part in an already flourishing ministry. We got to see Fernando's ministry. It's thriving, it's moving, and we can see God's hand in those crowded Saturday mornings where they packed 200 kids into a small room and we were all singing worship songs together. We saw it in the kids playing soccer in the field, and we saw it in the laughter of the kids that came to learn English on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And we saw it in the ever-joyful Fernando lugging us Canadians around the country. And in all truth, I think we were not needed to do anything there. There were so many workers that maybe could have painted walls better than me. Probably all of them could. But it was an honor to be a part of Brand New Life's ministry. In Acts 9, we are God's chosen instruments. However, we were maybe little triangles or symbols in a beautiful symphony that was already there. And I hope that in John and I sharing and in the pictures that you see, that you could see it as an invitation to go to Bogota. We give as a church to Bogota, but we don't quite know where that money goes or what ministry is happening there. So I hope this can get you excited to maybe go one day and to see the wonderful work that God is doing in Bogota. Thank you.
Happy birthday, John. Thanks for pointing that out, John. For those of you who are new to the church, there's a lot of Johns in this church, as you can see. Just in that instance, we pointed out too. As we continue in worship through our offering today, we're giving our offering to the Benevolent Fund. This fund is administered by our deacons to help those with financial need in our community. We also use this fund to help families with the cost of Christian education. You can give your offering by bringing it to one of the offering boxes at the front during the fellowship time. Or you could give electronically in many different ways shown on the screen. So let's now pray for the offering and for the work of our deacons. Father God, we thank you for what you're doing in this community. We thank you that you bless us abundantly so that we can bless those around us. So, Father, as we give our offering today, we pray that you would use it for your kingdom and for your glory, especially for those who are in need. We pray for the work of our deacons. We pray that you would bless them and strengthen them as they serve with their hands and their feet, and as they continue to meet the practical needs and discern how they can meet how our church can meet this need. We pray that you would give them wisdom. We pray that you would give them discernment through your Spirit. We pray that you would lead us to be a church that serves this community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Every Sunday we have a 3-minute fellowship time, and we're about to enter into that 3-minute fellowship time during our service. During this time, we encourage you to grab a cup of coffee, greet someone new or you haven't met before. You can also give your offering during this time. And for those of you who are not in the mood for coffee or talking to anyone, you can check out the slideshow of pictures from the Columbia trip on the screen behind me. Have a great Sunday.
Try to stop your love, and you would wage war. Try to take the very thing you gave your life for, and you would come running, tear down every wall.
All right, everybody, you could start finding your seats.
My love, you're worth it all.
Hey, Bob. Yeah. All right, you coffee addicts, come on. Come back to your seats. Come back to reality. Well, welcome once again to New Life, everybody. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Pastor Bruce, and I'll lead you through the rest of the service, through the message. We're starting a brand new series here this week called Radio Spirituality. You'll see the logo up behind me. Radio Spirituality, and because of that, I thought we'd start with a little bit of fun. And so I thought we'd start with a true or false kind of deal, and this is in relation to some of what you may or may not know musically about certain people here at New Life, okay? So true or false, and you have to actually say out loud so that the person beside you can hear it, true or false, okay? So this is an in-your-head thing. It's like, say it out loud, okay? So here we go. Here's the first one, true or false. True or false, Pastor Nathan's two favorite singers are Barry Manilow and Engelbert Humperdinck. That's true, actually. No, it's not true. I just like saying Engelbert Humperdinck. And by the way, you young people, those are real music artists, okay? Janessa was like, who? Who? Like, she had no idea who they were, right? All right, number two. True or false, Pastor Sean is a distant cousin of the guy who wrote and sang Gangnam Style. Like, do you see the resemblance? Just saying. No, that's false. That's false. Although, that would be great. Hey, Sean, like, if you could share that at parties. So, anyway, next one. True or false, Coonrad Bugling likes to sing opera in the shower. Figaro, Figaro, Figaro. No, apparently he has some crazy song he sings to young people on mission trips, he told me this week. But I don't know. Okay, here we go. Next one. True or false? Taylor Visser knows all the words and can rap Justin Bieber's song, Baby.
True.
How do you all know that? That was a pretty resounding true. Okay, next one. True or false? John Limus has perfect pitch. No, you... If you've ever sang beside John Limus, you know that's... God bless you, John. We love you. There's another John, by the way, right? True or false, Marvin and Andrew Bravo's wedding theme song was Don't Worry, Be Happy. It would have been, it's got kind of a vibe to it that you'd think that would sort of Marvin would get into, but no, that I married them, it's not true. I was there. True or false, Tony DeWall and John Fictory know how to dance and sing an authentic Irish jig. It's true. It's true. I was with them last May in Ireland, and it's absolutely true from what they remember of it. Anyway, I'm getting myself in trouble here. All right, let's just pray and ask God for a blessing here. Father, we thank you for laughter. Thank you that we can come in this place and we can genuinely smile and enjoy the fact that you love us. Your grace is big and huge and lovely. Thank you for the worship set this morning, which touched our hearts so deeply. Thank you for the gifts that our worship teams have. And Lord, you've blessed us already so much this morning, and now bless us through your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as I said, we're starting this new series called Radio Spirituality. And this is a series in which we look at, or listen to, really, iconic songs. Songs from years past, some more from today. And we reflect on them as a window into our own spirituality, into our own relationship with God. Now, some of you might be thinking this morning, why a series based on popular music? Well, I'll give you several reasons. First, we believe in this church that God speaks most authoritatively, most directly, most powerfully through the Word of God. And that's why we reflect on the Bible a lot in this church. But God can and does speak through culture, through music. I mean, you felt it this morning a little bit, didn't you? As we were worshiping this morning, music has a way of touching us almost like nothing else can. I mean, God speaks through the beauty of nature. God speaks through the wisdom of a friend, through poetry and stories. And yes, God can speak through music. In fact, that's why there are so many songs, so much music in the Bible. Second, very often, those with artistic gifts among us are able to wrestle with the big questions of life, and often with more freedom in a powerful way. They're able to wrestle with those questions in a way that makes us think, that makes us reflect at a deep level. Questions like why are we here? How do we make sense of the mystery of love? How can we get along with each other? Why is there so much pain and suffering in this world? And a million other questions. And as they express their thoughts through art or poetry or songs, very often when they do their job well, they point to some deep truths about ourselves and our world and even God that we need to see, that we need to hear. Said differently, because every song or book or movie has a story, a narrative. When that story is told well, it helps us better understand the big story that God is telling in human history, and the story, by the way, that God is telling through your life and my life. Let me throw some John Calvin, yes, John Calvin at you. And this was drilled into me as a child, and that is, knowledge of God, the more we know and understand about God, the more we can know and understand about ourselves. So knowledge of God is knowledge of humanity. But conversely, the opposite is true. Knowledge of humanity, knowledge of ourself, our culture, our music, all that stuff, increases our knowledge of God. Because as we understand who we are, what we make as people made in the image of God, we can understand more about this amazing God who, by the way, invented music and speaks through each one of our lives. Third and finally, in many ways, music is the language of our culture. Have you noticed this? Every day, millions of people turn on their radios or iPhones or TVs, and they listen to music. And all sorts of values and ideas and perspectives are communicated. Now, not all of them are good. I think that's obvious to all of us, right? But in many ways, popular music is a language that we all relate to in some way. What's more, music is a language that has a way of moving our hearts, that's speaking to our souls like little else. I mean, just watch people at a concert, right? You know, how they're acting. It's almost a worship experience. So it's incumbent on us to reflect on this thing that has such a powerful effect on us almost on a daily basis. All right, let me just quickly go through the playlist of this series. Today, I'm going to do Drugs or Jesus by Tim McGraw. April 23, Antihero by Taylor Swift. Janessa's going to do that one. I'm going to do Yahweh by U2 on April 30th. And then Pastor Nathan's going to do Tears in Heaven by Eric Clapton in the beginning of May. So just so you know what is coming up. So now, without any more ado, let's have a look at this song that we're going to reflect on this morning, Drugs or Jesus by Tim McGraw. Have a look.
In my hometown, for any reason, one who sticks around. You're either lost or you're found. There's not much in between. In my hometown, everything's still black and white. It's a long, long way from wrong to right. From Sunday morning to Saturday night. Everybody just wants to get high. Sit and watch a perfect world go by. We're all looking. Love and meaning in our lives. We follow the roads that lead us to drugs or Jesus. My whole life I've tried to run, I've tried to hide. The stained glass windows in my mind, refusing to let God's light shine down on me, down on me. Everybody just wants to get high, sit and watch a perfect world go by. We're all looking. Love and meaning in our lives. There's not much space between us. Drugs or Jesus. Yeah. Everybody wants acceptance. We all just want some proof. Everyone's just looking for the truth. Everybody just wants to get by. Sit and watch a perfect world go by. We're all looking for love and meaning in our lives. We follow.
Well, it's not a new song. Tim recorded it in 2003. And I have to admit, when I first heard this song, I didn't really think too much of it for a couple reasons. I mean, first of all, it's one of those country songs. And a few years back, I read an article about how in country music circles, record companies are kind of interested in songs that have a high J factor, as they call it, which is a high Jesus factor. And it used to be that you would just never have any sort of references to Jesus in your songs, otherwise you were considered to be just gospel, right? But popular music has sort of changed, and songs that mention Jesus, that have a high J factor, they sell. So I thought, well, here's an artist that's trying to do that, right? That's trying to make a song work, a song sell. Secondly, I thought it's far too simplistic to juxtapose these two options, drugs or Jesus. I mean, I don't know anybody that's ever, you know, pulled out a coin and said to his friends, all right, like, okay, heads, it's Jesus, tails, it's drugs, okay? Like, call it in the air, right? That's not how we tend to make decisions. In fact, most people, I think, aren't really serious about their spirituality, not because they've made a decision, but precisely because they haven't. They just drift, right? They just try not to think about spiritual things most of the time, or the really important questions of life. But then I kept listening to the song, and the more I listened to it, and the more I thought about it, the more I realized that it actually has a pretty profound message. The song starts out, in my hometown, for anyone who sticks around, you're either lost or you're found. There's not much in between. In my hometown, everything is black and white. It's a long, long way from wrong to right, from Sunday morning to Saturday night. And as you listen to the song, you get the sense that Tim McGraw isn't talking about just any old town. This isn't some made-up deal. That he's actually talking about his own hometown. And if you read his biography, and if you understand a little bit more about his story, it's actually true. It bears it out. Tim McGraw grew up in a town called Start, Louisiana, small town. His father is actually a famous baseball player, Tug McGraw, who pitched for the Philadelphia Phillies in the 70s and early 80s. Tim didn't live with his dad growing up. In fact, his dad was just sort of there but then gone. Tim didn't even know who his dad was until he was in his teens. He was the result of a brief relationship Tug had with his mother, Betty Trimble, and again, raised in this small town. You know, Start, Louisiana. Have it just flip over the slide, if you would. Like, this is Start, Louisiana. I mean, you can just imagine the conversation, eh? It's like, Gus, we're really happy you painted the fire hall, okay? But it does seem like we're sending the wrong message here, right? Like, this is kind of ironic. What's ironic mean? Right? Okay, we're the fire department, okay? This may just be sending the wrong message. But that's who we are. Start fire. Okay, let's just leave it, all right? Can you imagine the conversation? Did anybody sort of say, but that's the town that he grows up in, right? Now, you can imagine if this song is what he says it is, a black and white community, conservative, religious, probably a little judgmental. Imagine the kind of things that he would experience with his mom being a single mom and him being a kind of an illegitimate kid growing up, right? He doesn't say whether he was one of the lost ones or found ones growing up, but again, you get this from his biography, that he tended more towards the Saturday night crowd than the Sunday morning crowd. He doesn't say that he found any answers in the bar at the bottom of a beer mug. No one has ever found much of anything there. But he sure didn't find a whole lot of better answers on Sunday morning. In fact, from his perspective, both groups were kind of looking for a way to escape. The Saturday night crowd by loading up on liquor and drugs, and the Sunday morning crowd found it by asking Jesus to save their souls so that they would end up on the right side of the judgment and be okay in the sweet by and by. Everybody, he says, just wants to get high. To sit and watch a perfect world go by, we follow the roads that lead us to drugs or Jesus. You know, you have to admire his honesty. Because you know for a while that I lived in the same kind of town that Tim McGraw did. I mean, I grew up as a pastor's son, and I had a front row seat to some of the hypocrisy and some of the stuff that went on in churches that nobody talks about, right? And for a good part of my life, I didn't want to have anything to do with it, right? I mean, the truth is, I met some wonderful people along the way, and there were people who genuinely loved Jesus and were interested in the community, but there was a whole lot of escapism too. There was a whole lot of folks who didn't have their Christianity move them towards trying to change the community, trying to bring God's grace and love and truth in a powerful way, but were just kind of using it as a way to, you know, put window dressing on their lives. Or worse, to judge others, right? To create this little insular community whereby we can put on our rose-colored glasses and watch a perfect world go by. Karl Marx once said, he said that religion is the opiate of the people, right? I mean, it's a way for us to kind of just sort of not deal with the realities that are right in front of us. To basically accept our reality as it is and to not actually try to be change makers. Maybe this is why it's such a long, long way from Saturday night to Sunday morning. So let me ask you, is Marx right? Is this what Christianity is? A kind of a drug? An opiate? Right? A different kind of high than what you find on Saturday night? Is it just an escape? Well, here's what I do know. This is not the kind of Christianity, this is not the kind of discipleship that Jesus called us to. There's a story in the gospel in which Jesus is talking to a particular man about the cost of discipleship. And he says, being a follower of me means that you are invested in being a transforming presence in this world. And he says, Jesus, okay, I get it, but I need to bury my father. I got a funeral to attend. And Jesus has some stark words. It's almost unsettling. He says, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Now that's tough, isn't it? I mean, what is Jesus saying here? Is he anti-family? Doesn't he care when we lose our family members? Now understand that Jesus is using strong language to make a point. You see, Jesus knows something about you and I, and that is we are into comfort, friends. Given the choice between following Jesus radically and staying safe, we tend to choose safety. What Jesus is saying is, listen, if you think about it, there will always be something in your life. There will always be an excuse. There will always be something that will keep you from radically following Jesus, from being the kind of light and salt, this transforming presence that God wants us to be in the world. So Jesus says, understand that. Is Jesus a drug? No, he's not. But he sure can be used that way. Listen, Jesus came precisely because he knows, friends. He knows this is not a perfect world. In fact, it's quite the opposite. It's racked by human sinfulness and rebellion, and the fruit of that is present every day in the newspapers that we pick up, right? War and rebellion and rumors of war and injustice and disease. But Jesus has come, and he has come precisely to break those powers, but it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen if we sit and watch a perfect world go by or use our faith that way. How you doing in this area? Maybe this morning is a chance for you to recommit to becoming a more radical follower of Jesus Christ. Now, the second verse of the song takes a kind of a personal turn. McGraw writes, my whole life I've tried to run, I've tried to hide from stained glass windows in my mind, refusing to let God's light shine down on me, down on me. You see, for Tim McGraw, given what he experienced growing up in Start, Louisiana, it would have been so easy just to write off Jesus and Christianity. Ah, it's just the opiate of the people. The church is full of broken people. I mean, as broken as the people at happy hour. But this is something that he can't do. Because there is this deep sense that behind whatever brokenness and dysfunction he's experienced in the church growing up, there stands a real God that's pursuing him, whose love is pursuing him. And as much as he tries to run and hide, his heart can't. And I'm telling you, this was my story too. For many years, I just wanted to write the church off and say, it's just a bunch of hypocrites, self-righteous people. And it would have been so easy to do that. And I lived my life in that way for fairly significant stretches of time. I mean, who needs it? Besides, you know, there's more life on Saturday night than on Sunday morning. Might as well party down and have some fun. But late at night, when I was alone with my thoughts, God's pursuing love would find me, and deep down in my soul, like a burning conviction, I knew that this was not the path that God had for me. That God had a greater purpose for my life. God was calling me to himself. He was calling me home. He was saying to me, yeah, Bruce, the church is full of hypocrites. The church is full of broken people, but guess what? You're one too. And just because that's true, just because the church isn't a perfect institution, it doesn't make the call that I have for your life any less important. In fact, maybe it makes it more important. Just because we can find flaws in this group of people that Jesus calls the church, it doesn't mean that the mission that Jesus has given every one of us to bring light to this broken planet is any less important. And deep down in my heart, I knew that. You know, there's an Old Testament story. You can find it in Genesis chapter 32, and I encourage you to read it this week. It's about a guy by the name of Jacob, and I really resonate with this guy. He's the self-made man, right? He's a schemer who has no problem breaking the rules to get what he wants. And behind him, he leaves this trail of broken relationships and broken promises. But God has a plan for his life. And one night, he gets into this kind of WWF wrestling match with God. In fact, he wrestles him all night. And you know what he discovers in the end? Jacob comes to understand that the life blessing that he was so desperately pursuing wouldn't come by being smart enough or strong enough or savvy enough. It wouldn't come even by being the life of the party. It would only come by submitting himself to God. And you know what the amazing part of this story is? That sometimes God will fight us to be found by us. Thank God for that. Some of you are going through a wrestling match right now. And let me just say this to you, first and foremost, God is real. He's real. He's not a figment of your imagination. He's not your overly developed conscience. He's not the ghost of your forefathers. He's real. He's closer than your breath. What's more, he's calling your name, and maybe you don't hear it because of all the noise that you've got going on in your life. Other priorities that you've placed before listening to this voice. But late at night, or in some quiet place in your day, when you hear his voice, just respond. Start a conversation with you. For some of you, if you would just resolve to do that this morning, it would change your life. For some of you, God is asking you to do something this morning. He's saying, you know, that thing that you've got going on in your life, that thing that's killing you, you got to let it go. You got to find help, if you need to let it go. You know, that bitterness that you've got, that you've let sink itself deep into your soul, right? So that it begins to control the entire way in which you see the world. You got to let it go. You got to exercise forgiveness, because if you don't, your whole life is just going to, it's going to spiral. For some of you, God has challenged you to get involved maybe in a deeper way in this place, in this community, but you're fighting it because you're saying, well, look, you know, I'm busy. There's so many things going on, and you know, I'll get to it one day. God is saying, you know, if you don't get to it today, maybe you'll never get to it. Because there'll always be something. Let the dead bury the dead. But you follow me and proclaim the kingdom of God. What's God wrestling with you about this morning? Let him fight you to be found by you. He's real, friends. You know, for me, I discovered that. I remember finally quit fighting in a small inner city church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. No more running. Now is the time, God was saying, Bruce, come home. And I did. I made that choice to make my life count. Now, have I done that in a perfect way? No, not by a long shot. But I'll never go back. So if you're running this morning, quit running. If you're hiding this morning, quit hiding. In the words of the song, let God's love shine down on you. Down on you. I love the way the song ends, because it's really a prayer. It says, I need you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I need you, Jesus. And I want to pray for you right now. For all of us, just bow your heads and close your eyes. I want to invite the band to come back up. Lord, thank you for speaking to our hearts this morning. Some of us here are wrestling you. We're wrestling with the call that you have in our lives. We're wrestling with something that we want to hang on to. You're asking us to let it go, but we won't. We're wrestling. But you love us enough to fight to be found by us. You love us enough to pursue us. You love us enough so that deep in the night, we know you'll never give up on us. You'll never stop talking to us. And the beautiful thing is, you'll never stop forgiving us. You'll never stop calling us home. Oh, thank you for that. All of us in this room know that in 100 different ways, you could have a reason to give up on us. But you never do. You never do. Thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love for us. We receive them this morning. And for some of us, may this be a turning point, the moment at which we say, Jesus, I want to follow you for real. Or maybe for some of us who have kind of slid into complacency, may this be a clarion call back into the discipleship that you want for us, each one of us. We ask for that. And then, Lord, as we contemplate your grace, and your goodness, and your love, we'll worship you. Because there's 10,000 reasons for us to celebrate your love for us. Thank you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand, sing this song together.
Worship his holy name.
It's time to sing the song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me sing.
Your hands this way this morning to receive the blessing of the Lord. As we bless him, he blesses us. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May he turn his face towards you and give you his everlasting peace. And all God's people said, amen. One more chorus.
Let's go out and sing it now one more time. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Thank you.
Amen. So well, blessing the Lord, bless each other. It's good to be alive. Bless you today.